What's poppin', my freeform renegades? You are tuned into the Freeform Network. Thank you for joining us for another fun episode of Freeform Radio. I'm your host, Noel, with my co-host, as always, Daniel.
Yes, sir, man. Beautiful weather, beautiful day. Ready to chop it up a little bit.
Definitely. And Andy?
It's all good, Andy. Glad to be here.
Yeah, same as me, man. It's another beautiful day here in Chicago. Wherever your listeners are, we hope you're sitting cool, feeling good, and we're going to just jump right into it. So, Andy, if you can, catch us up on your week and what you've been up to.
So, yeah, I mean, just, chilling, watching some stuff. And I was watching a lot of college football yesterday, but once I jumped off of that, I jump on my old YouTubes here, and lately they've been kind of giving me a lot of, the recommendeds or whatever pops up on the feed. They've been giving me some animal stuff, and one of them was a Vice, like, mini doc from a couple years back about feral cats in Australia and how, like, it's a huge problem for them. And it was just interesting, man. It's just so apparently, they're not native to Australia. People brought them over, domesticated, and then just
wow, cats. I figured there'd be everywhere.
No, I'm talking about like a normal like house cat, right?
So right, right.
People like they financial hardship and such, and then they leave and they just go around doing what the fuck they gotta do, fucking and trying to eat. And
oh, okay. The way you made it sound was that cats have just been introduced into the
No. When they first got colonized and everything. They weren't really like these house cats or domesticated cats. People brought them over.
Gotcha. Okay.
And then shit happens, and it's like a huge problem for them now because the feral cats, they're just like any fucking they eat a lot, so, and they're eating a lot of the small mammals. They eat reptiles, they're eating insects, and it's gotten to a point where they're afraid they're gonna eat everything. They're just gonna eat everything up, and there's some animals that might go into extinction. So they've been known to eat like baby kangaroos and like koalas and like these birds and shit, like small birds, and it's becoming a problem where they're taking notice, and they introduced some program to try to I don't want to say eradicate, but like basically they want to get a hold of this because they estimate the feral cat population is like 6 million cats.
Wow, man, they need to send you and Oscar over there. Because I know you guys used to take care of the population in the gym.
Yeah, so it's.
Oh, like, I don't want to talk about that. I'm sorry.
No, man. But I think we did a little bit of control because, yeah, we did what we had to do back in the day. But so, yeah, they focus on two people who hunt them and a guy and his wife and his kids. And then there's like this old man who like takes it another level. He catches them, he kills them, and then he skins them and he sells like their fur, which I thought was kind of fucking weird. But yeah, man, and like the average cat that they haul are like between like 5 to 8 kilos. So I mean, these are some big fucking cats, man, and they're fucking vicious. And I just found it interesting, like, they're talking about, we go do this, nobody else is doing it, and people are telling us, it's like, I don't hate cats, but they don't understand what's going out here in the bush, and we need to do this, otherwise we're going to, animals here that are native to Australia are going to disappear because a big chunk of them is because the cats are going to eat them all.
Wow. So do you think that the Price is Right wasn't Aryan in Australia, because Bob Barker was all about spayed and neutering all these animals.
So they have a big campaign about that. They call it de-sex. They don't call it neutered, but he goes, that still is not going to solve a problem because he goes, the cats are still hunting. So the feral ones, And then they're like, even if the if someone comes and they have a cat and they have some financial hardship, they're noticing people just leave their apartments or houses and they leave the cats there and then they just like run off, and it's an animal, so it doesn't take long for them to go back to their natural instincts.
Yeah, man, that is weird. Today, Bagel is kind of acting up and being in all the places that we don't want it to be. And I told Alana, I'm like, just open the door and let the dog get the hell out of here. And then she's just like, no, she's not that bad. But yeah, you would think, you know, if things get hard, do people tend to just leave their pets, get out of here, you know, and just leave them abandoned?
I mean, here in the United States, I mean, I've seen, you know, you see videos of people just like driving up in the highway, like, and there's like bags and there's like puppies and all this shit. I mean, I think they do. I mean, I get it. Not that I get it, but yeah, I think it is a problem. And, you know, for an animal to turn feral, like dogs, there's feral dogs. No one talks about that. I saw a documentary a while back, because down south they have a big problem with hogs, and how this happens. They showed you how, like, those pink little farm pigs, once you let them go wild, I think they morph back. They grow their hair and turn dark. I think it doesn't take that long. I want to say it takes them like a month.
Right. Before they start growing tusks and everything. Yeah,
they become before they become feral again, or, you know, wild. It doesn't take that long.
And yeah, cats, for the people out there, why don't you explain what feral means?
It's just wild. They're wild. They're not domesticated. So you put a dog out there, like y'all seen them, and if you grew up in the hood, like in the alleys, you see a cat just walking around or a dog with no owner. That's basically means they're feral. They're in their natural instinct. They're just like, they're going to do what they got to do to eat. They're not going to wait for no one to like feed them or anything.
Right.
Yeah. They just instinctively, they go wild. So
I saw a documentary a while ago. I don't know if it's the same one, but it showed how they're trying to campaign against people that even feed these animals, because there's people that want to feed all the loose animals. They don't want them to starve. So they'll leave like dishes and dishes of like cat food out there so that they could eat. And these campaigns were fighting against that because they didn't want the population to just continue to explode.
Yeah, I mean, it's a problem. I've seen a couple, like, Vice docs. They did one in Florida where there's, like, chickens everywhere. And they're trying to they're asking people not to feed them. And they basically run, like, this town in Florida. And they're talking about, like, all these they're trying to pass laws and like not, they don't want to kill them. They're trying to relocate them. And it's like this big back and forth. But meantime, those chickens are just like feral chickens are just running around everywhere, just eating up everything and like shitting everywhere and walking into stores and stuff. And I'm just like, just fucking, you're trying to be humane, but you know, it's just like, it's a fucking problem.
Wow, you would think, what's the problem with being a ton of chickens, you know, other than just the feces everywhere, and then maybe they're eating your crops.
Issue. Yeah, that was the big issue, is the bird shit, because the bird shit can have viral diseases, kind of what we're going right now, so they don't, and that could easily spread, and you got to be constantly just cleaning stuff, and that was one of the issues that they had somebody from the city talking about it, like that's a big concern of ours. And then, you know, people could get sick from it, too.
Yeah, you got to wonder, at what point do you draw the line? At what point do you say, like, hey, we shouldn't intervene in nature and just let it handle its own, you know, thing? Because then, if you start on this road, like, you're like, all right, we have to handle this feral cat problem in Australia. Australia is a continent. It's a massive, massive place. It's not just the country. I mean, it is, but it's a huge continent. So how do you handle a whole population of feral cats? And are we going to keep it in check forever? Like, is that something? It just seems really difficult to keep track of for the longevity part of it.
Well, yeah, the government gives these people, the hunters, and the money from what I understood, and people hire them to hunt down and catch these cats, and the government went basically is just like, yeah, kill them. I mean, I've seen a lot of docs like that too. I think in down south there's these rats like in the swamplands of Louisiana. The state of Louisiana, I think, gives you like $6 for every rat you kill, or these swamp rodents. And like, yeah, this guy, this went with them with these like Cajun people, and they're just like on the swamp shooting all these fucking huge rats. And I'm just like, he's like, man, it's gonna be good money today. And some of them even eat them and stuff. And like, it's just, I mean, it's stuff that people who are in urban areas don't really talk about, don't know about. But if you talk to people who live in rural areas, it's a big issue for them, because it's affecting their livelihood with their livestock and the crops that they're growing, depending on what type of animal you're dealing with. But yeah, that's a big issue.
Yeah, no, even in the state of Illinois, we have a deer issue from year to year. And they, you know, like, encourage hunters to go out there and kill these deer to keep the population under control. So I'm assuming every state or every, like, general region of the United States has a similar issue with whatever's overgrowing that area, you know, at least farm-wise.
Yeah, like the hunters, I mean, people, I know it's easy to shit on hunters, but hunters, if it's regulated right, they want game to hunt. So they're not going to go out there and just kill everything in sight. Like, if it's regulated, it's a controlled population. They're conservative, you know, can't say the word, where they want the area to grow because they want a place to go and hunt. Because if there's nothing to hunt, there's no game, they can't hunt. So they like the ducks, like the deer. And sometimes, like, and if it's monitored right, you won't let people hunt the deer. So stuff, you know, the game can
repopulates, right?
Yeah. I mean, so it's not like they're just going to go out there and just kill everything in sight. They, when it's managed right, it does have to be regulated and managed. Yeah, I mean, you can enjoy it for a long time.
Right, yeah, man. Yeah, well, who the hell is shitting on hunters anyways? I think hunters are cool.
So, yeah, going back to the doc, those cat hunters, they've gotten death threats. Like, people fucking tell them they're going to go and kill them and shit like that. And it's always like, man, people's net, you know, they're instantly just like, it's like, oh, they're killing animals. Ah, they suck. Like, but you don't know. You got to do a little bit of research to see why they're hunting. They ain't just going out there because they're cold-blooded killers.
You know, I never looked at it this way until just now that you said that. And it's silly that I didn't think about it. But so Australians, they're not allowed to have guns, right? But I guess hunters, are they the exception then? They can have maybe rifles?
I saw them have, like, rifles and shotguns. I mean, they were riding around on a four-wheeler with shotguns and rifles with scopes and everything.
Interesting. Yeah, so that is interesting. I wonder if they have to get, like, a permit. Like, all right, here's a rifle so you can kill these cats or whatever. But then you have to give it back to us in 3 months or something like that. I wonder if they, like, loan out these weapons, or is it only that handguns are banned in Australia?
No, yeah, it's their personal weapons, because one of the guy's wives, she had a rifle, and it was like a camouflage with pink.
But is it, like Noel said, isn't Australia where all the weapons have been confiscated and they don't have weapons for people and whatnot?
That I didn't dig into all that. I thought they... I know they have very strict gun laws, what I know from the NRA, but these people were riding around with rifles like nothing, and they had them in their house, and they were out in the bush, as they would say. They had knives, dogs, rifles. So the guy had, when he went hunting, he was talking about he uses a distinct bullet because it kills a cat immediately if you shoot it at a certain point, because they've even been asked, like, how do you euthanize the cat? He's like, I usually shoot him. If he catches them, like in a trap. He's like, I shoot them right here and they die instantly. There's no pain, no suffering. Like, it's an automatic. And then they're like, oh, okay. Yeah, that's a good place to shoot them. And he's like, I've never heard back. He's like, I ain't torturing them. I shoot them at a certain spot in the head and they die instantly. There's no pain. It's just auto, like instant. And so, I mean, they had rifles. You guys had bullets, the whole works.
So maybe this is what's developing the situation here. Maybe that's why people hate them, is because they have weapons or have figured out a way to circumvent the system to obtain weapons. And other people not only hate them because they're killing cats, but hate them because they have weapons as well. I wonder if that's the case.
Yeah, I mean, at this point right now, with all the stuff that's going on in the world, you'd got to imagine some people want guns now at this point, because they're seeing just how defenseless and hopeless they are against anything the government decides to do.
Right.
Yeah, it's. I don't think that's the case. I mean, it's a valid point, but I think it's more of. It's just a need for where they live. I mean, if you live out in the wild, that you have a cabin, or you live in a farm, just having a weapon, a gun, is just part of one of your tools that you need when you live like that.
Right, here in the United States, but Australia is totally different, man. Look at how they've been on lockdown since COVID started, man.
That's the major cities, but they have major like rural areas. That's just like major cities. It's kind of like
I guess I don't know enough about Australia law. Is it a widespread gun ban, or is it regional? Yeah. Like, all right, you live in a metropolis, you can't have a gun, but if you live in a rural area, hey, build up an army. It's cool.
You know, honestly, I'm surprised that like there's no other solution to this feral cat problem, because there's so many dangerous animals in Australia, fucking snakes and
huge spiders
and shit, all that shit.
Man, so, let a bunch of dogs loose, man. They'll control this.
Yeah, some of them, like, once they shoot them, they gut like what the cat has eaten. Like, they pull everything out. There's like bugs, reptiles, snakes, birds. Like, they eat just, I didn't know they eat like bugs. I was kind of shocked, but they eat all sorts of stuff.
Cats are assholes.
Yeah, they're fucking evil. Right. After I watched that video, I got in my your feed showing cats attacking people at home.
Right. Man, cats are vicious.
I've seen some of those. Yeah, I've seen some of those in the past. This one's like, oh, updated 2021 version. And there's like a lady on a Zoom call, and the cat's like, you see him crawling, and he just jumps on her face and starts slapping her around and cutting her face up and shit. And I was just like, Jesus, man, fucking cats are evils. I even read somewhere that cats like hate babies and they'll try to kill them. You ever heard anything like that?
I believe it, man. Cats are vicious, man. Those are mean ass animals.
Yeah, it's like I said, it was pretty good. It was only like a half hour long. I've seen plenty of docs where Vice makes about like all this issues with like when they have problems with like animals, and they use like this with the swamp rat thing, the feral cats. I seen one with the hogs. I even seen one where in New York they have problems with rats, and they use this like group of people in New York. They had like a special dog, like I think it was Yorkies or Scottish Terriers or something, and they're known to kill rats. And they go around at night in the alleys, and they let these dogs loose in the alley. They're sniffing out rats, and like the dogs are like biting them on the neck and cracking their necks and shit on the rat, like these huge fucking rats, because it's such a rat problem in New York. It was like, Jesus, man, the fucking, those little dogs were vicious.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's like I said, Vice has excellent docs when it comes to that. I don't know what's left of them. I heard they had layoffs this past couple week, but they produced some decent documentaries in the past regarding animal issues and such. So I highly recommend that you guys search that. I mean, if I didn't watch any more, I'll make sure to bring them to our recordings. But yeah, that's enough about hearing about evil cats, man. Let's move on to see what Danny's going on. I see he's been watching some movies. I see you watched Die Hard 2. Well, you've never seen it before. It's close to Christmas. It's a Christmas. Well, that one ain't a Christmas movie.
The first one, I give it. It's Christmas. Second one, I guess it's the same sort of time period. But I don't really see it as a Christmas, especially because to me, in my eyes, Die Hard 2 is one of the weaker ones of the trilogy. Once it goes past the trilogy with all of this Die Harder Again or whatever the hell the newer ones are called, I don't even consider those like traditional Die Hard movies. Those are like, we got to make some money. This is what everybody's doing kind of thing. Yeah, this is the airport one. Yeah, to be honest, man, the reason I even bring it up or even say it is I can't really remember this movie too well. So
yeah,
my gut feeling is I saw it once. I'm like, okay, I saw it. I didn't really like it. And I never went back to it. That I erased it from my head. And I don't even remember this shit. But yeah, me and my wife, excuse me, sat down and watched it. And it's not that good, man. It's not that good. It's really kind of hokey. The story, half of it, I figured it out even before it happened, and I didn't really think it was that good, man. I don't know if you guys have seen Die Hard 2.
Yeah, I saw it actually probably like 5-6 months ago. And I don't really remember too many details about it. I watched so many movies. But I mean, it's not really that memorable. I do know like a few parts of it. The ending was like nothing special. Definitely wasn't anything like the first one where it had like gripping moments or where you kind of felt like things could go sideways for Bruce Willis, you know?
All I remember from that movie is when he ejected from the plane and it's like a big fire, right?
Right.
Something like that. And I remember some snowmobile like shootout. That's all I remember from it.
Yeah, to be honest, with the snowmobile part, he's flying through all these like hills and valleys or whatever, and they're shooting at him, and he's the only guy shooting back, and he's hitting a couple of them, and he does not get shot once. And I remember during the movie, spoilers, this is a plot point, but he doesn't get shot. And I remember thinking, I'm like, this is so phony, man. I'm like, I can't believe it. It's like half a dozen guys shooting back at him. And he doesn't die. And I guess later on in the movie, he finds out that that's why Bruce Willis figures out that one of the guys that was helping him early on in the movies was actually a bad guy because they were shooting with blanks. But I remember when I first was watching it like live, I'm just thinking like, man, this movie's so phony. But it was, you know, I had to give it back to Die Hard. I'm like, oh, it's actually a plot point.
And I think the guy from NYPD Blue is in it, right?
I'm not sure. I don't really watch NYPD.
Short guy with the mustache.
I like watching good movies. But yeah, that short guy. Yeah, he's in there.
You just watched Die Hard and you shit it on it. So what does that mean?
Right. Actually, with all this NYPD Blue talk, I've been meaning to watch it. But man, I've just been watching so much TV that I can't fit nothing else, man. It's just too much. But yeah, I've been meaning to go check it out. But yeah, that short stubby guy, he's in it. Yeah.
Bald. Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, he's like the airport main security guy or whatever.
Something like that. Yeah.
But yeah, I just to like what Noel said, it's not memorable. If Die Hard 1 is on TV, I would watch it. I would stop and just watch a few hours of it. If Die Hard 3, the one with Samuel Jackson, I'll even watch that one. That one I thought was pretty good. But this one, for some reason, if it's on TV, I've never seen it. It just watching it again, it was like watching a new movie because I didn't remember any of it. But not the greatest. I didn't really care for it too much. So not much other to say
The Die Hard commercials?
Oh, with the battery stuff?
Yeah, and he's playing John McClane.
I think that's pretty clever, but I mean, anything to make a buck, I guess.
Hey, man, everybody got bills to pay.
Right. So
Bruce Willis has been on, like, some terrible movies lately, too. Anything to make a dollar, I guess, like you said.
But he got kicked out of the Bastards, right? Or the Stallone and the bald guy movie. He was in the first
Expeditors, or what's it called?
Oh, the Expendables.
Expendables. Yes.
Yeah. He wanted too much money, so yeah. After the first or second, he wasn't in it anymore. They then replaced him with
Han Solo or whatever. Yeah.
Yeah, Harrison Ford.
Yes.
Yeah.
Right. I've heard Bruce Willis is an asshole anyway. So.
Yes.
Yeah, but you know, something else I want to bring up, man. It's starting to get on my nerves, man. It's like you know, something that does grind my gears here is with all these mask mandates, everybody's wearing a mask, and which whatever is cool, you know, whatever people want to do. But I've noticed that some people that wear masks all the time don't wear them when they're talking to certain people. But as soon as I walk up, they throw their mask on. So is that because I'm infectious and I'm like the diseased one here? But when he's talking to Joe Schmo over there on the side, he pulls down his mask and he can talk comfortably with him. Am I the dirty one here, Andy, or what's going on, man? I'm getting like a really bad vibe out of this, and I'm not liking this hatred towards people and wearing a mask because certain people might be sick or might be infectious, man. What's going on?
It's interesting. First of all, whatever your feelings are about the mask, but I think you're more, I don't think you're under, you're upset that you don't care if he's wearing a mask, but you're upset when he puts the mask on when you walk up to whatever person. That's what you're like, what the fuck?
Only because I've seen him not wear a mask in certain social situations. So it just gets me thinking, well, how come when I'm talking to you, you don't lower your guard as well and go like, well, Daniel's cool. I don't have to wear my mask. He's clean. He's not infectious. But for some reason, I don't get that pass like this other guy.
But what's your preference? You want him not to wear it, or do you want him to wear it?
No. People could do whatever they want. It's just that I'm an observant person, so when I see things like this, it gets me thinking, like, why is this person not lowering his mask when he's talking to me, but when he's talking to this other person, he lowers down his mask?
Let's dig in. So you feel like you're being singled out?
I think there's some kind of prejudice here, man. I think we need to make a new, not sexism, not racist, but we need to make another ism that falls into this category, man. I'm like, this is bullshit, man. What's going on?
My biggest debate, anything right now, is the handshake. So I've been like, I handshake people and then I use hand sanitizer. But if it's something like somebody I really don't like, I don't know, or if I have never talked to, like, I fist bump them. And sometimes when I fist bump people, I think that weirds them out.
I think it does weird some people out. I don't mind the fist bump. And to be honest, if I'm in a social situation and it's difficult for me to go wash my hands, I would prefer that they don't even shake it or even try to. And it's weird.
You want that mask off.
I went to a family barbecue yesterday, and I had my hands washed. I had, you know, I'm all clean. I'm being conscious of what I'm touching, and we're about to eat. And then somebody just got to the party late, starts going around doing the rounds, shaking everybody's hands, and then comes and shakes my hand. And I'm like, well, what the hell, man? I'm just about to eat. I don't have any hand sanitizer on me. What the hell am I going to do now? This person just shook my hand after she shook like 24 people's hands over here. And now I got the shit from the first person that she shook. And I'm just like, man, this isn't cool, man. I'm like, I don't know how I'm going to live in this new society, Andy.
But don't you use don't you got hand sanitizer on you, a pocket one, or your wife?
I forgot to bring some, man. That was my bad. I should have brought some, but it's just like there's no necessity. I even when she was a little farther away, she was like on the other side of the picnic table, I put my hand up to wave, thinking the wave was good enough.
Sufficient.
for like a hi, how you doing?
An acknowledgement.
Yeah, like, hey, how you doing? And she saw me. She looked directly at me. Hey. But she still decided to take another 2 steps forward and then stick out her hand. And I'm just like, shit, man, now I got to shake this lady's hand.
Yeah, it's an interesting mindset there. Yeah, it's still something you have to grapple with. But going into, I was kind of like that last year, and but it got to a point like fuck. And then when the vaccines started rolling out, I'm like, eh, whatever. And now it's my big thing is I don't care if you wear the mask or not. It just the touching shit, that's when I'm just like, ugh. Like, and I feel as soon as I shake somebody's hand, I grab the hand sanitizer and I put it on me. And I'm like, do you want some? And some people take it and some don't. One dude told me, goes, man, I use hand sanitizer before I shook your hand. I'm like, who? And then to me, I'm like, well, what the fuck does that mean? Like, ah, whatever, man. I use it on and after. So, like, whatever. And,
you know, I mean, it's, germs, that's my only thing. Yeah. You guys got to be careful, but at the same time, you don't want to obsess over germs, dude. They're everywhere. Yeah. And even if you don't shake someone's hand, it doesn't mean you're not getting germs in your body. You're still going to have germs all over your skin, all over your body, right, all over the air, all over the surfaces. It's there's no getting away from it. Yeah, oh, right, you could be a little safe, and but don't it shouldn't stress you out, because stress is going to hurt you more than the germs that the handshake gave you.
Right, right. Yeah, I'm kind of hamming it up a little bit here, but I understand that there's germs. But let's say we put it in a percentage chart. If you don't, if you just kind of do what I'm doing and trying to watch what you're doing with your hands, you maybe got 10% of the germs that the world has. But as soon as you start shaking hands and not giving a shit, then that drastically jumps up to like 70%, you know? And then if you start like picking your ass and picking your nose, man, you're like in that 100% percentile where you're, this is like all bets are off, man. Anything could happen here.
How many people do you know that died from picking their ass and their nose? You know, not a lot of people die from those kind of causes, dude. Like, right. We need to be exposed to germs, but just not like to the point where you're like swimming in sewage. Like George Carlin said, like he used to swim in sewage, and that's how they never got polio and shit.
Right. I have heard of that saying too, and I mean it. I try not to like be totally, but right now since we're in this pandemic zone, I don't want to even get a cold where I think I might have COVID and be like, shit, my nose is runny, I got a cold, do I have COVID? You know, I don't even want to have those thoughts. So to me, I've gone almost the whole, you know, 2 years without having any kind of major illness, any kind of cold, any kind of flu, any kind of stomach bug. And thank God, man, I've been doing good. So I think it goes to where, you know, it's just a little bit of hygiene and a little bit of just being cognizant of what you're touching. I'm trying not to touch doorknobs, trying to open doors with my hands. I'm over here pushing it with like my forehead and my shoulder, which might be equally as weird and maybe hazardous in some other issues, but it's been working so far. I don't know.
Well, hey, to go back, circle back around to what you started with your that person, mask, that right. Yeah, the mask guy. So just to be devil's advocate, what if the person or the people that that person talks to, they already have an understanding that I don't need a mask around you. Like, we already had this conversation. We're both cool. But he hasn't had that conversation with you. So he doesn't know if you're cool with it or not. And maybe if you're below him in the hierarchy or whatever, he's right. Like, I don't want to be responsible for getting you sick because I'm over here talking to other people without a mask. So unless I know you're cool, like, you have to tell him, like, hey, you don't need a mask around me, man. It's all good. Don't worry about it. You know what I mean? If right. He doesn't know that, he's going to be like, fuck, like, I don't want to just assume it and not have a mask.
That could be it, too. Maybe he's wearing it to protect me because he's like, I don't even want Daniel to be uncomfortable. Let me wear a mask so he's comfortable. That could be the situation. It's just something that I've noticed, and it's got me thinking, like, is he kind of like a Seinfeld with Elaine, where that one lady didn't even want to share the water bottle because he's like, oh, man, you sleep around and you're kind of dirty. You know, like, am I the dirty one here? You know, that I guess that's the thought that came naturally to my head. But now you're right. Maybe it's more that they have an understanding where, like, it's cool. You don't have to wear a mask around me. It doesn't bother me kind of thing.
Wouldn't that make it more awkward that you have to have that conversation with him? And what happened if he's like, why the fuck ain't you wearing a mask around me? Like, he starts twisting that up on you, like, and you're just like, fuck.
Right. But let's jump on to Noel here. I hear you saw the trailer for ActRaiser. How do you pronounce that last? What is it? ActRaiser? Why don't you just call it ActRaiser Remaster? Because I saw that trailer too, and I was really excited. But fill us in on it, man.
It's ActRaiser Renaissance, and it's kind of similar. It's like a synonym for remaster, I guess. Like it's a re-release, oh, like a rebranding,
fancy. Oh,
nice. Revitalizing. But I was looking at a few pictures of it, man. It looks freaking great, dude. It's a HD upgrade of the original ActRaiser game that's supposedly going to have new features and world building options and more story to it. And I'm, dude, it's only $30, and I'm just like, dude, I think I'm gonna wait a little bit and see if it goes on sale for the holiday season coming up. But I'm down to get this one.
Yeah, for sure. Did you play ActRaiser, Andy, when it came out? Or are you even aware of it?
I'm not even aware of it. If you say ActRaiser, it sounds to me like a PS2 game. That's how that popped in my head.
Nah, man. This goes back to Super Nintendo, man. And
okay.
Oh, man. I used to love the original game. To me, it was the best. I played it on my PSP when I hacked it, and I started dropping in SNES ROMs. And man, it was the best. Just this ActRaiser game. I've played it and beat it maybe like 3 times in my lifetime. And every time it's just awesome. I love the side-scrolling action, the platforming, the little bit of platforming that there is. And then the over-the-world god sim. I've always just thought it's super cool how they kind of marry both into the same game. And it's really interconnected well, and I've always just had a good spot for ActRaiser, so I'm excited to play this HD remaster.
I just Googled it real quick. I'm looking at the pictures. I see ActRaiser and then ActRaiser 2, but then I'm looking at screenshots. I'm like, it looks like a Super Nintendo game. There's a guy, like a half horse, and a guy with an armor and like some green-haired thing.
Right.
And it's a side scroller. I do not remember ever playing this game.
ActRaiser 2 is actually an okay game, but a lot of people hated on it because it wasn't like ActRaiser 1 in total, you know. It was more of a side scroller than the God Sim part. So a lot of people for Super Nintendo, right?
For Super Nintendo, the graphics look awesome. So it passes the eye test. The gameplay, I like I said, I don't know. It looks like some
beautiful looking game. Yeah, hey, it was challenging, dude. The bosses, especially towards the end, they like I remember playing it as a kid. I was maybe like 6-7 years old, and I always had all the games because all my brothers bought everything, and so I was like just blessed, man. Just like library of games to play, and this was one of them that stuck with me like my whole life. I always loved the game. The fact that I could play like a benevolent being helping these people and their villages and helping them through like famine and thunderstorms and shit, clearing away monsters and caves, and dude, it was freaking awesome, really in-depth game. And so with this new one, the Renaissance one, it looks like there's gonna expand on that world building option. So I'm excited to see what new things are gonna be in it.
Yeah, that's what got me excited too when I saw the trailer. They're like, yeah, new bosses, new areas. And I'm like, oh, shit, man. This is always a game that, you know, you start unlocking new weapons and new abilities as the game goes on. You know, it's like basic 101 video games. But it's always left me wanting more, that when I finish the game, I'm just like, man, if there was only another level or two, this would be awesome. And this might be it now, man, because they said they got some added stuff. Now, I'm trying to keep my excitement in check here and be realistic. It's probably only like one extra boss and like one little platform area kind of thing. But still, man, just the thought of it being more of the stuff that I like. I just hope it kind of sticks true to the original enough, but revitalizes it at the same token. So we'll have to see, man. Another quick point before anybody else. The music is awesome in this game, man. All the soundtrack, all the levels. As soon as I heard the trailer and the music key, I was just like, yes, man, I remember that music. It was great, man.
ActRaiser on their wiki was inducted into GameSpot's greatest games of all time in December of 2003. And then in 2007, I don't know, Screw Attack, I don't even think they're around anymore, ranked it.
From Game Trailers.
The number one top 10 big games that fell off. So, and yeah, it does have, it was pretty popular, man. So yeah, I'm shocked I never played this. So yeah, it looks good, man. And then, like I said, I just saw pictures of the graphics. It looks straight up just Super Nintendo graphics, which look amazing. So, but yeah, it looks like it had a big following. It does have a big following at the time. Yeah,
it was huge at the time. The number two, unfortunately, was kind of a dud because it went more like the Castlevania route, the 2D scroller, versus the actual world building. And the world building, it got you immersed in it, you know, like, because you were defending, like, the people. So you felt like you were this guy that I'm going to come down and just fucking destroy these evil monsters and protect the village. So it was really cool. But, I'm looking forward to it. And hopefully, so with this being an HD remaster, this isn't like an old game that you're just updating. This is like a new game, right? But it's with the old style, story, all that. So maybe there'll be DLCs that'll include more bosses and more world building areas. So it's not like it has to just be this and that's it forever. If you could remake the game once, you can add DLCs down the line. But we'll see. We'll see what happens with that.
For sure, man.
There was a quick thing on there that they released a mobile version for the game a couple years back. I don't know if anybody played that.
Oh, wow. No, I don't remember that one.
Yeah, so check it out. Let us know.
I don't really play mobile games, dude. I never got into it. You guys get into any mobile games?
I try for a minute, but I got into a minute for that donut hole one where you're a hole kind of just going around sucking up the world kind of thing. And then, it's a weird mobile game. I don't really play mobile games much on my phone. Anytime I have any kind of free time, I'm on social media or I'm just checking my email really quick. But I played a couple games and that was one that kind of piqued my interest for a minute. It's kind of like a puzzle. You got to suck the world in with this hole. And then the more shit you suck in, the bigger the hole gets. And then you start like absorbing like buildings and skyscrapers and shit like that.
But you start like a black hole.
Yeah. You start off with a small black hole and you're just like going on the landscape and then you sucking up lampposts and grass and, you know, sucking the world, the bigger the hole gets and the more you could absorb and shit like that. So it was okay.
I mean, I got into some shooter games early on, but then as soon as it got hard, they're like, you need this gun, buy it. And I'm just like, fuck this. And like that got really like soured me on mobile gaming. And that's about it. I mean, I played a couple shooters early on, but that was it. And then they're like, this is hard. They're like, get this gun. This gun will get you to the next level. And I was just like, nah, man, I'm good.
Yeah, like I played a few as well as like shooter stuff, but it just never got anywhere that made me feel satisfied. So I was just like, I'm just done with it.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, one other thing I just started doing is watching Walking Dead. The final season is finally underway. We're not halfway through, but like six episodes in around there. And it's looking pretty exciting right now, dude. Like the final season is definitely ramping it up to 10 and it's looking like it's going to end on a good note, at least a good note in the terms of like high quality, impactful action sequences versus like the few seasons in between this one and the ones before the start were kind of a dud, man. They were kind of slow burning and it just took forever to get through them. Like the drama wasn't really there. It was more like like slice of life type of thing. Like Walking Dead started out really scary with zombies and then they eventually got to a point where things were peaceful and it became more of a slice of life type of show. And then it started getting more dramatic and now we're here, the final season. And it's crazy to see this long journey, dude, over a decade.
Yeah, it went from like you're saying like a survival show, fending off zombies. Now it's just like character driven like issues between each other, not necessarily like the fight for survival or any issues with the zombies. They're just like a backdrop. Like, yeah, we've done all that.
Exactly. It made the zombies like just kind of whatever, just there to make it relevant, but not necessarily a major part of the story. And what's interesting is now is that the zombies are still, you know, now they're becoming more part of the story, but also the humans that have survived, there's like little factions. So it's like NWO versus WCW. Like there's like factions in this world that's survived. And I'm not going to spoil anything, but it's pretty crazy right now. You got the Reapers, you got the Commonwealth, and then you got, you know, the OG Alexandria. So those are the three factions.
Yeah, that's what's got me curious and see who is still left alive. I dropped off a couple of seasons ago because, like you said, it got kind of slow. The last thing that I saw was like Negan, where he was just taking over with his bat, beating up everybody, killing people. And that was the last I really saw. And I've heard that like now he's a good guy and a bunch of other different stuff. So it does get me curious to catch up and watch it. But I don't know. I don't know if it's worth the payoff to watch three shitty seasons to get to, you know, maybe some exciting things at the end.
Well, I'll say this. So Negan, there's a lot to who he is and how he became who he is. Now, I don't know if you want me to just kind of give you a little spoiler here. It's not like the biggest deal in the world.
Sure, man. Yeah.
So he had a wife who had cancer. He used to be, I think, a teacher, and he had a normal life. He was a good guy. He had a wife and everything. And so she got cancer, and he was helping her through the whole, you know, zombie apocalypse. And he left her, even though she begged him not to, because she was like really getting really worse, like sick. He left her to go find medicine that she needed, like desperately needed. And she begged him not to go because she knew she probably wouldn't see him again. And yeah, sure enough, you know, like he left her, and yeah, he would never, she would pass away essentially, and he would never see her again. So he became like just destroyed from that. And so he became Negan, who would be kind of like Thanos of the zombie apocalypse. Like he would just destroy anybody that got in his way. He had no morals, no code, really, just kind of his way or the highway kind of thing. And he would be the alpha. And so when Rick finally beat him and humbled him, instead of killing him, which he wanted to die, he's like, just kill me, dude. He's like, no, I'm going to hold you accountable for your actions. Hold you accountable for your atrocities, and I'm going to imprison you. You're going to be our first prisoner ever in this zombie apocalypse. And so he was. He stayed in Alexandria. I want to say the time skip was like 5-10 years, something like that. Like, wow. It was a pretty big time skip. So at this point right now, this final season, Negan isn't a good guy, but he's a reformed guy. He's been in prison so long and just seen so many things happen that he's no longer this hardened, like, just I don't give a shit about anybody person anymore. He knows that, like, he was a different person before, and he doesn't have to be the evil person he was. It's kind of like character growth. And it's interesting. He's not a good guy. I wouldn't say that. He's not a good guy at all, but he definitely has more of his earlier self when his wife was alive. He has more of that present in him now than when you first saw him.
Wow. Hey, so is Rick's daughter still alive? Is she like old now? Is she like a teenager or?
So, I mean, it's the same actress. So she doesn't look like a teenager, but it seemed like they jumped a lot because Rick had a kid with Michonne. So after, I don't know. Do you know what happens to Rick?
No, I thought Rick had, whose kid was Rick taking care of? No, Rick had a daughter with some other lady, didn't she?
All right, so this is how it goes. Rick had Carl.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't want to just go into like a big spoiler thing.
You ruined it for everybody, though.
Right, I know, but I know Rick had a daughter with some other lady. Then the lady died. Then her, Michonne and Rick were taking care of this kid along with the son.
Yeah.
But I had heard that the son had gone into some shit, and he's gone. But Is the daughter still alive, or are we talking about a second daughter now?
No, so that's Judith. She's still alive. She's not his biological daughter. So she had her father is Rick's original partner, fucking Punisher. What's his name?
Oh, right, right.
John Bernthal.
Yeah.
He had an affair with Lori, I think was her name. And so that's how she got pregnant.
That's right. Yeah, I forgot. Okay.
But I mean, she was raised like Rick's daughter. So Rick, for all intents and purposes, is her father. That's the only father figure she's ever known.
Right.
Now Daryl's kind of taking up that role, but he's always doing his own thing. So he doesn't have time to really be like a really hands-on father figure.
Shit, man. Well, I'm sure we can talk about Walking Dead forever, but yeah, man, stuff like that's got me curious because they were interesting characters. I wouldn't mind knowing where they are, where their story arc took them, but I don't know, man. It'd be tough to catch up.
Yeah, you know, if anything, you could always do like the YouTube videos, do the recaps, and then just watch the final season.
Yeah, maybe I'll do that because it does make me a little curious, but I don't know if I could sit through a few slow seasons.
You know, that's what's tough, man, because there's so many episodes sometimes. You'll get a good one and then the next one's kind of slow and it builds up to something later on. And it's just like you never know what you're going to get. But this final season, for me personally, like it's been nonstop. One after another, just crazy shit happening. And it makes sense because like it's been building up this whole freaking decade for this. So but yeah, that's all I gotta say for Walking Dead. Science news that's nonfiction leads us into our article of the week. So here in Sci News, we have an article that was posted on the 24th of September. It's titled 23,000-year-old human footprints discovered in New Mexico. In a study of exposed outcrops in Lake Otero in New Mexico, the United States archaeologists have discovered numerous human footprints dating to about 23,000 to 21,000 years ago. The discovery confirms the presence of humans in North America during the last glacial maximum. So it pretty much proves that there was a lot of humans just pretty much everywhere in the world thousands of years ago and much earlier than people anticipated in North America.
Yeah. Well, you know, this article first, I'm just like, man, what the hell is this about? But I thought it was really cool how there were adult footprints, but there were even children. There were like a couple different size footprints. So, man, it was probably like a family or, you know, a different, you know, like a clan or some kind of like group of people. So really cool, man.
Yeah, I remember seeing something about this on Coast to Coast AM. They posted a similar article. So, yeah, it's pretty. The article, which you go into that, like they talk about, like, or did these people migrate here? Were they here? How did they get here? And that's like the big question lately, like who came here first or who's been here, right? How did the people end up in the Americas? That's always, it's like a long discussion. That's, I've seen a lot of documentaries and articles about that. So, but yeah, it's pretty cool. And I like the little drawing they have where the family's on the beach and there's like woolly mammoths on the other side of the lake.
Yeah.
That was pretty cool. Just like, that's a nice picture drawing.
That's like 10,000 BC type stuff right there.
Yeah.
Well, if you believe in the Bible, there's the Tower of Babel where they try to create this tower to reach heaven. And God struck down the tower and spread man all over the world and spread them out, created different language. This is the Bible's way to explain why everybody speaks different and stuff like that. But he spread the people throughout the land, gave them different dialects so that everybody speaks different. And that's why people are spread out through other continents. And I guess if you're a Bible believer, this might explain why there are some people in North America, way before in the day.
Yeah, I was always curious about that, how this relates to the Bible. And I've never personally read it, so I'm not going to even give too much opinion on it. But I never really bought the whole Adam and Eve story and all that stuff. So it's interesting to see any news like this, especially when it's like 23,000 years. That's such a long time ago. And so it says here, this corresponds to the height of the last glacial cycle during something known as the last glacial maximum, and makes them the oldest known human footprints in the Americas. And it says that the footprints tell an interesting tale of what life was like back in that time. And the tracks, like you said, were left by, you know, teenagers and younger children, you know, even with the adults there as well. You could show them that they were around animals that are extinct now, like mammoths and giant sloths. So it's pretty crazy to see that, like, this long ago people were around. And obviously if they were around that long, you know, we're descendants of some of those people. Especially if you get a chance to ever do your genealogy test. I personally did one with Ancestry, and I constantly get updates of getting more pinpoint accuracy of the genetic makeup, I guess, of what I am. And for sure, there is Native American blood in me. And so in thinking about it, there's not only Native American blood pertaining to Mexico, but there's Native American blood pertaining to North America and entirely, I guess you could say. And so who knows, man, maybe one of these people are our distant ancestor.
Yeah, I saw something on History Channel, I think America on Earth, and like the southwest of America is like riddled with like ancient artifacts that have been found, stuff on the walls of caves with they found old Hebrew scriptures on the walls. They have also found Chinese artifacts. There's a mini wall built somewhere, and I saw this a while back. They believe it's Chinese origin, because the Chinese used to sail here and sail here, and then they believe they built it, and there's Chinese maps, and then there's Hebrews that they believe that the lost tribe of Israel came here, and then there's stuff with Native Americans. So it's all it's always all in the Southwest. So to me, that means they came from the West Coast of the Americas, and somehow they ended up there, you know. And it's just when I read it, New Mexico, I'm like, of course, that's they're finding all sorts of shit from all parts of the world and that area of Southwest America.
Yeah, I know you were talking about it last week about how when Columbus came over here, he was worried that he was going to run across, you know, the lost families, you know, over here, you know, and it's just crazy to think, how did everything happen the way it happened, where there were people here in North America? So yeah, it's always curious and always good stuff to research and look into and kind of figure out.
Yeah, man. I mean, maybe one day we'll find out more information as to how they got here, or maybe we'll find the source of, you know, humankind, I guess. There's always a lot of different theories. I know some people subscribe to the ancient astronaut theory. It's always an interesting one to look into. You ever heard of that one?
Yeah, the ancient astronaut stuff. I mean, it's I seen Chariots of the Gods, that old 70s documentary. I don't know if you ever seen it, with the Incas and in the Aztecs. They got spaceships and astronauts in their drawings and
right, in the paintings,
the lightings and stuff. So I mean, that's I think there's some truth into that. The pyramids in Egypt and the Middle East, how those things get built to this day, they still were not really sure. I think it took more than just slaves to build that thing. I mean, Charlton Heston did a pretty good job there, the Ten Commandments. So yeah, it's this. It's great when they find stuff like this, because you get some answers, but then you have more questions, right? And that's And you're always afraid of, you know, when people push against the narrative that we were taught in school because some new information come up and then people push up against that. Like, nah, that this is all bullshit. This is what we know. And it's always interesting. Like, I saw that, the footprints, and I'm just like, oh, that's pretty cool. And I was like hoping somewhere around there they found some writings to see or some drawings or some shit. But yeah, it's that's a long time, and it's interesting to see it. Like, again, it's really old, so what kind of narrative they might push, or they're just gonna keep, or hopefully it doesn't come up with like, oh, this is all bullshit, you know, with sometimes, you know, it happens.
You know, it makes you wonder, in 23,000 years, will there be any evidence of us? Like, us three personally? Like, is there going to be a footprint somewhere? They're like, oh, shit, whose footprint is this? And then, like, it turns out it was mine. Yeah, you ever think about shit like that?
I have thought about that. Like, these podcasts that we record, I mean, as long as the internet lasts forever, we'll have a digital footprint forever with our voices, which some people can't say. You know, some people come and go in this world and they don't leave really a digital footprint anywhere. But this, you would expect, would last the test of time.
Yeah, I mean, it's interesting what we dig up in like the world's history in like the past, like just 500 years. And people dig up shit that we didn't know a lot about. And when you go back like thousands of years, it's pretty amazing what they find, and still they don't have answers to, because there's like this narrative that they're trying to push. So I mean, like I told you, I watched that documentary where they were claiming that the Chinese were here first, and they found some like stones with like some of the emperors of China's, like, they call them like business cards with their like logo or something. And they were scattered all across the United States, and they did some testing on it, and it proved this from that area, that dynasty. And it was like, fuck, man, were they here first? It just didn't keep good documents, like Columbus, you know, people shit on Columbus, but he was the first one to record coming to the New World, because you had people who kept the good record keeping. Say what you will, but he was a fucking explorer, and he documented everything, and that's why he gets the credit. I mean, I know the other atrocities that were committed, but that's just a product of the time. And but there, I'm pretty sure there was other people here. Everybody heard the story about the Vikings. They were probably here, like in Canada and shit, back in the day. But nobody recorded anything. Nobody had books or maps, and they just like, well, we think they were here. Even though, you know, they were all over Europe, why wouldn't they just like travel the ocean, see what the fuck's on the other side?
I thought they found like ruins in America Unearthed, I mean, like in that episode.
They might have found some, I think they found like some metal or something, or like a part of a sword. They think that they trace back to some type of like thing from Europe. And I seen some of that too, but it's just, like I said, it's hard to prove, you know, and that's the problem. And the longer we go, like Danny was saying, like what's going to be left of like the Vikings, the parts of Europe, you know, and like China in Asia, where they have these, like, they've been around forever and they had some decent like documentation, but nobody really talks about what they know, and they've been around a long time. And because I don't know if it's the government don't want them to know or what, but they have some, like in China, they have like the old ships that from some of the old dynasties of the emperors, like they have replicas that on some docks in China, and you look at it, you're like, holy shit, like the times they were talking about, those were fucking massive fucking ships. And like they had like an awesome navy back in the day, but no one really talks about that.
Yeah, I mean, it's tough, man. It's such a complicated thing, like politics and all that, when you get that into the mix.
Yeah, ideologies get into it. Who's first? Who's better? When people are just trying to learn stuff, and it does become an issue. And then like like, again, going back to Columbus, like, you know, I was taught he was explorer, he came here, blah, 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 blah. But today it's just like you say that word, it's so negative. His name is just like a negative, you know, just he did what he did, but I mean, he was a fucking explorer and he did what he did to, like Danny's talking about, like, you think they're going to remember? Oh, he made an impact and people still talk about him about till this day. But now they're changing the narrative, you know, like what's going on with the Civil War stuff here with the monuments, they're taking them down. But like, read about why they built monuments to these people. And yeah, they fought in the Civil War. Yes, they're traitors, but they had some accomplishments to why those monuments were built to them. Yeah, maybe it's a little outdated, but don't just like, oh, they're fucking racist. Like, I don't think that what it defines them, but it's part of their how that was back in the day. But if you read their accomplishments, it's they've done a lot more than I've ever fucking did.
Yeah, man. The people back then, just a different kind of breed. They were, what was the saying? Tough times breed strong men.
Yeah.
And then strong men bring easy times, and easy times bring weak men, or something mm-hmm. like that. I butchered it. Sorry, guys. I butchered that. Something like that.
That sounds cool.
No, yeah. I mean, I've had this discussion with some people, and I'm just like, yeah, like, if the community don't want it, then take it down. But ask yourself, why was this built for these guys? Like, what did he do? And you read on it or you see a documentary, and you're just like, holy shit. Like, you know, like General Lee, he married, like, I think Washington's like daughter or something, or his sister. Like, he's related by marriage to a founding father. And he went to West Point. He graduated. He led like a Union Army. And when he resigned his commission, when he was in the Union Army to be a Confederate, like, it was he sacrificed a lot to go join the Confederates. And it was hard for him to do that, but he did it, even though he lost at the end. But he had some internal struggles when he made that decision.
Right. I mean, doing good deeds doesn't give you a pass for being an asshole or doing bad things. Not saying General Lee was
and
that.
And the documentary, Danny, nobody called him an asshole. Actually, right. He said he was a gentleman. And that's after why the I'm war,
saying, that's why he, I'm saying, that's why I said, college. That's why I said that, not saying that he was an asshole, but I'm just alluding to that. If you do good deeds, it doesn't give you a pass to do bad things. You have to be judged by all your actions, not just that. If you were an awesome guy for 50 of your years, but that last year you were alive, you went on a murderous spree, well, nobody's going to give a shit about the first 50 years. Everybody's going to be like, why is this guy a murderer? So I don't know enough about General Lee, and from the little bit that I do know, he sounds like he was pulled into a situation that gives him the dirt that he has on him by marriage, but it wasn't because he sought to be a slave, you know, runner or a traitor or whatever people are judging him nowadays. So he does sound like, you know, a great man, or at least he was, but it's tough. We'll see how history sees him.
I'm just using an example of him. Like, hell, they had in the 80s, there was a car named after him, the Dukes of Hazzard. So all I knew about General Lee as a kid. I'm like, oh, the car from Dukes of Hazzard. But as you get older, you're like, oh, okay, now I know why he got that name, or why they gave the car that name and shit. So, I mean, yeah, it's just, you know, the changing times. But there's a lot of examples in history where, like Danny said, like, they might have done a lot of things. It's just that one fuck up or misstep is where people just like, oh, that's the guy that did that, or that's the guy, yeah, fuck him, he's a loser.
Yeah, I mean, the Confederacy is associated with slavery, and and them wanting to uphold the right to own humans as property.
Mm-hmm.
And I know there was a lot more to it than that. There was a lot more policies they were fighting for than just that. But that itself is already enough to tarnish their whole mission and their whole standpoint, you know, of the reason they fought against the North to begin with.
Yeah, I mean, like I said, they all had made decisions. You know, today, you know, it was just what was going on at the time, and it economically, it was an economics thing, the slavery thing. Yeah, and they lost. So, but people still had the people of the South endeared to those people who fought the Union, and they lost. So, I mean, I get it. They built statues, and now it's just the world what we live in now is just it's rapidly changing, and people have different perspectives on it. But the biggest one I hear, oh, fuck him, he's a racist. And I'm just like, well, yeah, I guess he is a traitor. I'll give you that in the legal way. Yeah, he's a fucking traitor because he fought against the United States of America. So, but I mean, he did other things besides that, I guess that's what I'm saying. There's one example. There's a billion examples like that, you know, but, you know, I'm just that's the example I'm using right now.
You know, it makes you wonder 23,000 years ago, those footprints, you wonder if they had wars like this, if they had like squabbles and they had political issues and shit like this that we have going on today's day.
Dude, I imagine so. I mean, that, like thinking like you see those footsteps, maybe they were walking to ambush somebody or fucking kill somebody. I'm like, you don't know. Right. And, you know, because I was watching real quick something this morning about this monkeys and that they're becoming like warriors, and they started taking over like parts of where they live in somewhere in Africa, just attacking other monkeys and expanding their territory. Like, is this the first thing of like warrior like chimpanzees? And they have video of them, man, they're fucking up some of these monkeys. They're stomping on them, like fucking punching them, ripping their fucking dicks off. Like, I'm like, god damn, this is fucked up. And they weren't fighting over females or anything. They were fighting to take over territory. And that's like in monkeys, you know. And I was just like, fuck, man, animals are savages and people can be savages too.
Yeah, if you have the animal in you, it'll come out sometimes.
Yeah, it's interesting. Like I said, you don't know the whole footstep side of it from the article, but now you don't know. Maybe they're going to do some fucked up shit. And that's all the time we got, everybody. These fucking monkeys, man. You know, thank you for listening. Remember, you can follow Freeform Network on Facebook and Twitter at Freeform Network. You could also send your questions and suggestions to ffnquestions@gmail.com. Don't forget to check out our webpage, freeformnetwork.podbean.com. You go there, you see our links to all our apps, platforms. We're constantly adding, so link, subscribe, the best you could do. We're always on iTunes and Podbean. For Freeform Radio, we got Danny.
Yes, sir. Go out there, enjoy your day, man. I think summer is about to end, so let's enjoy them while we got them.
By the time this one drops, it's been over, Danny.
Right.
Well,
thank you again for listening. We're just a couple of weeks away from Halloween, so let's see if we can do a big episode for that.
Right.
And we got Andy here. It's all good. Trying to remember. I got to eat more blueberries because I'm taking a beating lately. But I'm going to remind you this. Please make sure you guys like, subscribe, and remember to tune in next time. You guys have a good week.
Dad.